Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sound bites from the coach's last presser.
Don't know what I said, but I will say this. For all those lip readers out there, there's more than one word in the English language that starts with F.
Bite me with Coach Harbaugh.
Congrats to the Browns. Tough loss for us. Hard fought. Appreciate the effort and the fight with our guys, as always. We'll get ourselves organized, get back to Baltimore, and start getting ready for Denver next week at home.
That's all you can do. Very tough loss. 29-24. Baltimore Ravens losing to the Cleveland Browns, giving the Browns their second win of the year. Ravens with their third loss of the year. And many people, including myself, wonder, Coach Harbaugh, what went into the strategy of the short yardage play calls?
Third down with Charlie and quarterback sneak. You also just try to draw him off sides. They said he moved his head too much when he was calling this cadence. That's tough. You know, I guess that's the interpretation on that. So that's what happened on that. We overcame that one. The Wildcat off tackle play, we just didn't do a good enough job with it. You know, and it is what it is. It's a call. You know, you look back, you wish you hadn't called that. You wish maybe it would have been better. You know, as a play, but that's football. You know, that happens. And we understand that, so you keep fighting, you got them backed up, and you keep fighting.
Yeah, that's what you got to do, keep fighting, Jeremy. But, again, I scratched my head. You didn't like the call at all to go for it in the first drive on fourth down. I see where you're coming from. I like the call to go for it, the decision to go for it, I should say. I don't like the play call.
Yeah, not everything by the book. Like, we didn't know what the Browns offense was going to be doing. If you probably watched how things were going, maybe you said, all right, we'd like to get a touchdown there, and we definitely want to score 7 instead of 3. And again, I don't think this team should be necessarily settling because they are good at it. But it is the first drive on the road. I always want to come away with points. And I know, look, you get fourth and short yardage. It's great, but that a lot of people didn't like the play design. I would have kicked the field goal there.
Now, we talked about the play. Coach Harbaugh now is going to talk about the decision.
We were going to go for one and a half, even any side of two. Early in the game, that was our metric the whole time. I mean, we were planning on doing that. That was what we were doing. The thing that you got to understand is, like, that's a long gain right there. You don't exactly think you're going to probably get it into one right there. You know, it's kind of, I don't know what the odds would be. What was it? Third and what?
Now, Ed, I don't know what your take was on going for it on fourth down, especially on that first drive.
I hated the call. I wasn't crazy about them going. I believe in some of these old adages, like you take the points on the road. Ordinarily, if I was home, not a problem. If your defense was lights out, like it usually is, and then I don't really have a big problem with it. Given everything we have going on right now, we have a porous defense. You give a lot of yards, you give quite a few points, and you're on the road. Take the points, man. But I'm not usually opposed to people going for fourth down. But I really hated the play call.
Yeah.
That I just couldn't. Don't do that.
The decision was great, I thought. The play call was horrible.
Yeah. Just don't do that. Do a lot of other things, but not that.
You talked about the bad defense, and largely, do we agree over the middle is where it really stinks? The defense over the middle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, early on, Jameis Winston threw a touchdown pass to Tillman on a slant play, a slant route. This is what John Harbaugh had to say about that.
We weren't well organized on that play. There's no doubt about it. That play was not a good play for us.
Why does this keep happening, though?
That's why, Jeremy, I go to coaching. This is why I go to coaching. No one's ever on a Ravens staff ever going to say it's bad coaching. However, if you listen to them, they're telling you it's bad. Why were you disorganized?
Like, So week one against the Chiefs, they were forced to call a timeout on defense. And again, I almost give a pass there. New defensive coordinator coming in. Okay, you're learning on the job. I get it. First time doing this. But at the same extent, you're getting further into the season, and we keep seeing this where it doesn't look like they're ready. We don't know if the defensive backs are told to stay so far off the ball in certain games and play that prevent defense. But it's just odd watching a team lose to inferior opponents, and not only that, but blowing double-digit leads to teams like they did with the Raiders. Yeah. It's just crazy.
I agree, man. You can't have miscommunication during that time right there, though, Jeremy. Mm. You can't, man. He talked about John Harbaugh being confident in his defense.
Yeah, we're very confident in our guys. We always are. We play great defense, and we'll keep working, and we'll put up some good defensive games, I promise you that.
Well, they do have to keep working. They do. But I don't have confidence in his defense. I don't know how he does. I expect him to say he does, Ed. But I don't think he really – I don't know how he has confidence in his defense.
I mean, how could he have confidence in him right now? He's saying what he has to say. But there's no way he's confident in defense because look at them. I mean, just look at it. Look at the, where they stand against the pass. Look at how many – what they did in this game, which is just, to me, unforgivable. You lose like this to, my opinion, a much, much more inferior opponent. And again, this whole set playing down to the level of your opposition – it's not good, man, because I don't understand why it's so difficult. And we see this a lot around the NFL a lot, where the Ravens have been such a good defense for so long, they finally come around with a potent offense and a good running game. Now they have the best offense in football, and their defense is not. The Chiefs are always known for this explosive offense. Now the defense is winning games, and Pat Mahomes throws a pick every game. I don't know why it's so difficult to marry these two together.
Yeah.
410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go out to Reisterstown and get Kai. What's up, Kai?
Hey, what's up? I'm over it, fellas. But look, I'm over the fact that Matt Williams is very Matt Elam-ish, man. And back there, he just reminded me of Matt Elam, man, when we had him. And Travis Jones and Matt Ibike, them guys, Roquan are relying on those guys. Every time you turn around, a guard is getting upfield. Roquan can't get off blocks, man. He's having a hard time. And listen, that prevent D, that's why I would have brought in Leslie. Now you see why I would have brought in Leslie Frazier. Who was a better defensive back, Dean Pease or Leslie Frazier?
What does that have to do with being a defensive coordinator? That's like saying, who's the better quarterback and you want him to be your offensive coordinator?
Why are we talking about Leslie Frazier?
I'm not going to argue for or against, but I don't understand how we come to that conclusion based on that.
Listen.
He could be my DB coach.
Am I on here?
Yes.
Yeah. Am I still here? Okay. The defensive back, Leslie bring attention and a detail to the,
where's he
to
working?
The defensive backs.
Where's he working now?
He working over there with me in Seattle.
He is. Doing what?
Probably. He's like a consultant McDonald.
Yep.
I would have him here. Ed know what I'm talking about. Ed speak my language with this. Right, Ed?
He's an assistant.
Regarding
head
what?
Leslie Frazier.
It's fun.
I love Leslie Frazier, but I just don't know what the point is about playing in the league. I mean, Tomlin or Harbaugh didn't play in the NFL. And they're both great coaches.
Yeah. So
just, I don't know how that translates.
How's he helping Seattle's defense now?
They had a bad game this past game.
They got a couple of those games where they've given up over 40 points.
Yeah, man. You know, I mean, I don't see where, they lost. They gave up 42 to the Lions. They gave up 36 to the 49ers. I mean, I don't, and they gave up two of the last three games, they gave up 36 and 31. I don't see your point, guy. I don't. I'm sorry, man.
I feel like he's got a calendar, and then, like, each month he writes Leslie Frazier's name on it on a certain day, and then he calls in to bring him up. For what? Like, again, and I'm not even trying to be rude, but you keep bringing up the same guy all the time, and there's never been a connection there. There's never been, hey, we're talking to him about coming here, or he should. Hey, you know what? Bill Belichick, let's bring him in as defensive coordinator. How about that? Yeah, he's a great coach. He's a great defensive mind.
What is wrong with him?
But what are we doing? What are we even talking about?
Come here.
Leslie Frazier. I'm good, man.
Come here.
I'm good.
Come here. Sure. Come over. Come on.
I mean, it's just.
Come here.
It's the same dumb crap over and over again.
Wow.
Leslie Frazier.
Mike Preston's report card at 9:30. But we go around the NFL, pick out MVPs. And Jeremy may not have seen any MVPs this weekend. They all sucked. Part of a big bad morning show. Monday morning quarterback on the Fan.
Around the NFL.
I love this. This is when we pick out MVPs from yesterday's games. Starting off with you, Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, all right. So we've got a couple MVPs, and you know right where I'm going to go. It starts with the pass.
Leslie Frazier.
Leslie Frazier. That's the guy. That's who gets my first. You some bitch for bringing him up. All right. My MVPs always go to the pass catcher, so let's get on it. My first one, I gave it to Cedric Willis.
Winston going for it all. For the end zone for Tillman. He's got it!
Cedric Willis plays for another team.
You do know that like somebody throws the ball to these receivers.
Yes. Yes.
You never give the thrower the MVP. You always give the catcher.
No, because the guy's got to make the kick. Depending on where he puts it, he's got to pick it up and put it back down and run with it. But Cedric Tillman had two tutties yesterday, including the big one. Just a great game from a guy you don't expect to get a game from, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody came into this game going, how are we going to slow down Cedric Tillman? But he did. He put in the work. The other guy I'm going to give it to, and it's funny because they were my ugly, I'm going to give it to Calvin Ridley. The guy was balling out yesterday. He had zero targets in, or he had, what was it? I think it was nine targets in a game with zero receptions because Will Levis couldn't get the ball anywhere near him. And then now he comes out in this game. He had over 100 yards in the first half. And that's why you go, well, what happened in the second half? Well, it's the Titans, okay? You can't get everything with them, but I thought he had a terrific game this weekend, Calvin Ridley. What?
Remember?
Yeah, I remember the Titans.
Ed Norris.
Well, I'm sure you're going to be surprised.
Running backs.
Yippers. James Cook of the Bills. You know, they had a big day, 31-10 over the Seahawks. The Bills are quietly now 6-2 with a division where everyone else is 2-6. I have a feeling they might win it.
Well, you know, like if you take him and his brother and you combine what they did, they had 123 yards and two touchdowns together. Dalvin had 12 yards.
Yeah. James had 111. Yeah. Two touchdowns, 6.5 yards a carry. Big day for him. My other, of course, is one of my favorite NFL players now on one of my favorite teams, Jahmyr Gibbs of the Detroit Lions.
On first down, Jahmyr Gibbs with an opening. And Gibbs with great speed down the sideline. Jahmyr Gibbs, one man to beat. He'll beat him. Touchdown. A 45-yarder last week. 70 to the house this week.
He's fun to watch, man. He really is. And I've always been fine with Montgomery. I think he's a great running back. I was all fine with him. I love that team. It's from the coach on down. But watching Gibbs, man, he just – there's something about speed. I mean, I guess you guys know that about me by now, but I just – you can't teach it. And when
he's
you
got
have
it for days, man.
You can't defend it unless you have more of it.
That's right.
That's just how it goes.
He had 11 carries.
I mean,
11. 127 yards. It's 11.5 yards per with a long, of course, of 70 yards.
Lem carries.
And a touchdown.
Here. Lem.
No, yeah. You two guys are becoming predictable, man. Jeremy always with the wide receivers. Ed always with the running backs. Why don't you mix it up a little bit? It's getting a little stale. My first MVP is going to be Kyler Murray.
There we go.
Kyler Murray. 26.
You're breaking
36,
out.
36. 307 yards. Two touchdowns. 116. 0.3 passer rating and a come from behind win 28-27 over the Miami Dolphins. I don't know what it is. I hope my buddy Andre is not listening. The Dolphins have become one of those teams I just don't like. I don't know what it is, man. I want to be able to put my finger on it. I just don't like it.
I mean, they got a lot of unlikable people.
Yeah, I don't
Jalen
like
Ramsey
them.
Can be that way. Tyreek
yeah, man.
Hill. I think even I love Mike McDaniel, but I can understand why people wouldn't like him.
Nah, man, he's totally uncool. And
wearing
he's cool
his man
with
capris and hitting his vape pen.
I like people who aren't cool and know they aren't cool and don't try to be cool. That's him.
Yeah,
that's why
true.
I like him.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He knows he's not cool. He knows he's a
makes
geek.
Makes fun of himself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I like that guy. He ain't trying to make uncool cool all of a sudden. My second MVP is how you like that.
Trying to get to the 33. Cousins floats it. Pitts is wide open. Flag is thrown. Pitts is in for the touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah. Pitts caught the ball from Kirk Cousins. 23 of 29. 276. Four touchdowns. No interceptions. 145.9 passer rating. Cousins was also averaged 5.3 yards a carry. And how you like that? Speed.
I've always liked him. I got to say, I think he's a really good quarterback, and he's like, he may be the smartest guy in the NFL with his tiny little duration contracts that make him like incredibly wealthy.
Speaking of not being cool and knowing it, Kirk Cousins.
But he embraces it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he embraces it.
He ain't trying to be cool. He knows it.
He like, shops at Kohl's. He does. It's like,
he probably owns a couple of them too. You know? I mean, a win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. By the way, you got to tip your cap to Baker Mayfield. Who was he throwing to yesterday?
I kept throwing to the damn running backs all day and the tight end.
All the way to 330 yards.
Without your receivers.
And three touchdowns. He had a couple of interceptions, but, you know, he's trying to force it in there. They didn't get sacked at all. I like Baker Mayfield, man.
He's playing well. I'm happy he found himself.
I like Baker Mayfield. I do.
Baker.
That's our MVPs, 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. How do you think Trevor Lawrence played yesterday, Jeremy?
Oh, man. I thought he
played. I beat him up all the time, but
I thought he played better yesterday. There was still, if you guys had a chance to watch any of that game, and I know people were tied into the Ravens game, there's still some throws where you're like, what did he see there? Like, he's supposed to be better than this. And they were talking about, he had a big completion to, I don't remember which receiver it was. Maybe it was Evan Engram for that touchdown. And they were talking.
Was it Brian Thomas?
Maybe it was Brian Thomas. But they were mentioning the fact that how he just signed that new contract and he's one of the highest paid players in the league. And I'm looking at them going, it's not Deshaun Watson or anything like that, but he's looked less than average in this league so far, which has shocked me because I thought he'd be really good at this level.
And Malik Willis came off the bench for Jordan Love yesterday.
Malik Willis has more wins than Aaron Rodgers as a starting quarterback.
Not looking bad, man. He was 4-5, 56 yards passing, a touchdown. The guy at Liberty University who looked like he looked like he was in over his head with Tennessee. He's gotten with LaFleur and Green Bay. So I don't know what his contract situation is, but he might get paid by somebody.
Somebody might kick the tires on him. And here's the other part of this is like, you and I were talking about this in the commercial break, Rob, but what about a guy going to the wrong team, being in the wrong environment?
Drew Brees.
It happens, man. And like the problem is when you see things kind of unfold like this, you're going, I wonder if he could be good somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like Tennessee looks like just a cesspool. And now they have Will Levis. They got to get rid of him because he stinks. I mean, they can kick the tires on that thing all they want. I think they're going to find out he's the same as Zach Wilson and the rest of these cats. They can't play.
Here's the best thing for Malik Willis, though. Okay, and he got traded to the Green Bay Packers this year. He had some starts. He has one more year with the Green Bay Packers. I mean, he has one more year to learn, be with Matt LaFleur, and see how that does for him. Mm-hmm. And then 2026, at the age of 27, he becomes a free agent.
Yeah,
I think somebody's going to sign him.
I do, too. And I think it's, you know, I know Drew Brees is an extreme case, but people, if you're a casual fan, you may not even know he played for the Chargers. Then became who he, you know, the Hall of Famer.
Yeah, they
in
drafted Philip Rivers because they felt like they needed to go in a different direction. Yeah. They had gone as far as he could take them.
Yeah. So I'm pulling for the kid. Did I mention he went to Liberty University?
Yeah, he went there.
They mentioned that right next to tight end, National Tight End Day.
Yeah, they never said anything about it. The other thing that was brought up, I saw Mina Kimes posted, and she said it puts a big smile on her face, and I think it will for a lot of other people. Dan Snyder's got to watch his team finally have some success, and he no longer owns the team.
Well, that's not a coincidence. Dan Snyder's going to watch the team have some success. You know why? Because he no longer owns the team.
They can only change that name.
What, the Commanders? Somebody suggested yesterday they're missing an opportunity not to have camouflage uniforms.
They could do so much with that, you know, because of where they are, the nation's capital.
I don't mind the camouflage. I got to be honest with you.
I think they have great colors. The uniform's beautiful. Just stop with that name that you could have come up with in 5 seconds. Took you 3 years.
Final thoughts at 9:45, but on the other side, Mike Preston's report card up next on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Preston's Report Card.
Brought to you by Rice Mirtha Pesaurus.
The aftermath of an accident can feel like you're getting wrecked again. Don't get wrecked twice. For the best advice, call Rice Mirtha Pesaurus at 410 Rice Law.
Preston's Report Card.
If you missed Mike Preston's report card earlier this morning at 8 o'clock, you can go to the Odyssey app and hear it in its entirety. Or you can go to Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com, and read it for yourself. Mike Preston joins us right now. Mike, you look at this offense. It was the number one offense in the National Football League going into this game against Cleveland. What were the Cleveland Browns able to do to, stifle that offense at times?
They got a good defensive line. I mean, the kid Thomason handled Lindebaum. Miles Garrett did a nice job against Ronnie Stanley. So if you can beat the Ravens up front and take them out of their play-action passing game or shut down on those RPOs, you got a good chance of winning. And then you got a couple good DBs. And the Browns are fast on the back end. I mean, you remember Justice Hill took that toss around – I think it was left in, and that safety came up and ran with him. I'm like, oh, my, that speed. You don't see too many good defensive teams in the National Football League anymore. But the Browns, they're not bad. And part of the reason they looked so poor at times was because their offense was inept. Mike, and that kind of put a burden on them. But, they could play.
Mike, do you think they got away from the run too soon, and looking at the carries that Derrick Henry had?
No, they just got beat up.
Okay.
So, you know, physically, they just got dominated. And that happens. I mean, go back and look at the first two games that they lost. You know, they were against Kansas City and they were against the Raiders. Well, what's the common denominator? They both had really good defensive lines. So if you could come out and play the Ravens straight up, then you have a pretty good success rate against them. But, you look at the teams that they played recently, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Dallas, they weren't very good defensively.
Mike, what do you equate? I mean, obviously they did not have a good game. Nobody. They gave the secondary a D-. But do you believe it's the personnel because of the drops, or is it scheme because of the coaching? Because they always look out of position.
It's a combination of both. I mean, it's one thing to get beat one-on-one physically, and you saw some of that, you know, where the Browns just made better plays. But then there were times where there just seemed to be a communication problem, and that's on the coaches. You know, so it's a combination of things. And again, as I pointed out earlier, Who's the shutdown corner for the Ravens? Who's that guy? They don't have one.
What disturbed me was the first line of your, you know, does anyone play in the middle of the field for the Ravens? And that really bothered me because I saw the same thing. Like, how is this possible?
Right. And that's the glaring thing to me was they just kept going after him. And you would figure that they would come up with something to shut down the middle of the field. The Ravens never adjusted. And the Browns kept saying, if you're going to give it to us, we're just going to keep attacking
it. Yeah.
And they did. And I don't blame them because I would have done the same thing. And that's what disturbs me probably more than anything. As I wrote this morning, I have a lot of questions. I'm not concerned about the beginning. Where's the end game? What's the end game for this? That's the concerning part for me is what do they do now? How do you get better? It's not like you can go out and go find this magical corner or a magical safety. But what's the end game? Do you go out and you bring in a new DC? What happens? And I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, they can't do either this year. Here with Mike Preston, Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com, Mike Preston's report card. You can find it position by position on the Odyssey app. Mike, the offensive line, I say it a lot. The times where, especially the pass protect, the final stats looked as if they're a pretty good, decent offensive line, not too bad. But you see a lot of Lamar running around improvising. I feel that covers up a lot of what this offensive line cannot do is protecting the passer.
That's very true. And that's why they have to run to be successful because that's the play-action passing game. And when they don't have that, they're in trouble. Or sometimes, Rob, when they fall behind early,
mm-hmm.
and at least against Tampa Bay, they stayed with in the scheme. But sometimes when they fall behind and they got to play catch-up, that's not a strength of this team. That's not a strength of their offensive line because they're big, sometimes kind of immobile. But that's what you're working with, and you are correct. You know,
like what
Lamar just took over the game. He took over that game in the second half of yesterday and said, oh, I'm going to win. And there were times when he got a little bit too much of that little hero stuff up in him where he was trying to make things happen. And but, hey, when you're the guy, you're the guy.
Mike, what about Tucker? Any concern in what we've seen here recently? And obviously we're not accustomed to seeing him miss. Looked like he got back on track, and then now we have the miss this week. Are you questioning him at all?
Of course. I mean, and any time you get a kicker that has some age on him, and he's been in the league as long as Tucker has, and he has some misses, you have to question that. And I still think that sometimes he was overcompensating. He was trying to just mash the ball instead of just kicking it. And that happens when you get a little older. So, yeah, it's something to keep an eye on. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens in training camp brought in a kicker to compete. I mean, that's what the NFL is about. It's competition. Mm-hmm. You want to get the best out of your kicker. Bring in competition. That'll light him up. Ask Matt Stover. He had that same thing going on years ago, and he survived and played well.
Mike, what about the coaching? I can't wait. I got to talk about this. Like, you know, the going fourth and one when you're supposed to take the points on the road. You can argue either way, I guess. But putting Henry in the Wildcat, you're putting your third string tight end under center for a quarterback sneak. You've got the two best, you're the best running back in the NFL and the best running quarterback in the history of football. Why don't you leave them together and just do what you've been doing all year?
I didn't understand that. And I still don't understand that. You know, because the pressure when you have those two in the same backfield is pretty unbelievable. And the pressure you put on the defense makes you start to second guess and think where you just can't always react. You have to watch and sometimes wait for the play to develop. And I had a problem with that. And then as soon as I saw it early, and I'm like, okay, you don't want to take the points. I get it. But at least put those two in the same backfield and put pressure on Cleveland. And that didn't happen. And some of the stuff that they do, I think they started to get a little too cute. Instead of just saying, this is who we are. This is what we do. We mall people. Okay.
Yeah.
This is who we are. And you got that big fullback in the backfield.
Yeah, I forgot to mention him, yeah.
Yeah, they forgot to mention him, too. It's like, you're not the only one.
He only had like 10 or 11 plays I heard yesterday.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, and what happened to the toss play?
You know, the one that they always got big money off of in the last couple of weeks? I didn't see that. Mm. I thought I saw the start of it where they did a couple of tosses in and he cut back up inside real quick, but I didn't see that run around the corner with Ronnie Stanley pulling.
Well, yeah, we just confirmed he had 11 snaps.
Yeah, so that's a little strange. I mean, I'm going to give Derrick Henry enough chances to see if he'll break one, and he did have that
39-yard run.
Run in the first in the first half.
Yes,
that was a little strange.
It wasn't like he had an off day.
Well, he did have an off day off the field. that was his off day.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, a little strange.
There we go, Mike Preston. You can find him at Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. Also, his report card on the Odyssey app from early this morning. Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, see you guys.
See you, man.
Early this morning, defined as 8 o'clock, so you can look directly to that 8 o'clock segment for his report card. Don't go anywhere. Final thoughts and a preview of tonight's Monday Night Football matchup on The Fan.
Final thoughts.
Final thoughts as we put a nice little bow on this week 8, of course, Monday Night Football tonight. We'll give you some information on that as well. Ed Norris, final thoughts, buddy.
Well, it was a very disappointing loss yesterday. Very disappointed. Defense looked confused and dropped all those passes. The offense, they abandoned what they best at. I don't understand what they're doing. They're facing a better team next week with Denver coming in. But they're coming here. They're playing in Baltimore. Although a team that surprised me, I think the Broncos, I thought they were going to be just god-awful this year, and they're not. But I still think the Ravens are a much better team. However, they have the same record, so I don't know about that anymore. But the Ravens seem to have better personnel. Both 5-3. The Broncos are coming here. I think the Ravens bounce back, you know, after this. It's got to be a devastating loss for them. And they're going to want to get back on track. So I have a good feeling about what's coming up. But, man, there was a lot of things wrong yesterday.
Yeah, there were a lot of things wrong yesterday. Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, I look at this and, you know, it's a tough loss. You got to move on past it. And the weird thing is, you look at this Ravens defense, and there's ultimately a lot of concerns. Something to be said about the Denver Broncos coming to town, and we used to feel like this Ravens team, anytime they faced a rookie quarterback, was going to eat them alive. We used to think coming into a game where there's no threats in the pass game, I mean, Cortland Sutton's a pretty good player, but I just don't, not buying it. And we're going to see them probably march up and down the field a couple of times on this defense, which we just haven't seen. Ravens are 8-point favorites going into next week.
Yeah.
Got to win this one and keep stacking the W's and hope that the Giants can maybe help you out tonight.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Ravens defense just didn't get it done yesterday against that Cleveland Browns team. Couldn't get stops when they needed. Not only couldn't get stops, but couldn't catch the football when it was thrown right to them. It's very uncharacteristic of this Ravens secondary, this Ravens team, but that's been kind of the character of them this year. As much as I hate to say it, they go into a game in which you thought for sure there was no way they'd lose a game. That's this week at home. But they came out of a game where you thought for sure there's no way they'd lose a game. So now here we are once again, like we were, what, about 5 weeks ago, wondering who are the Ravens?
Yeah.
Who are the Ravens?
I mean, I think we could say that about a lot of teams in this league. It's weird Kansas City's still undefeated, and by no means do I think they're even close to being the best team in this league, but you are what your record says.
But
you
they're
are.
Getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's you know, whether we want to believe it or not, man, these guys are getting it done. I mean, that's – I just don't – Patrick Mahomes, and I know that's boring. That's a boring answer. It is. But, Ed, it's always Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
The guy wins.
It is. I mean, even when they play poorly, and he's going to the record saying they need to play better, they're not playing the best football. And I agree. They're not. They're really not. But they always know how to win.
Why do you keep winning then?
Yeah. They just keep winning.
Let's go out to the phone lines right now. Let's go to Davidsonville and get Lee. What's up, Lee? 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 All right, Lee don't want to talk.
Holy.
No, Lee doesn't want to talk. Is this something to be said? It's something to be said about, to me, quarterbacks or players like that who just find a way to get it done. You know, we don't see a lot of people like that. Tom Brady was one. Before then, I mean, they're rare.
They're called winners. They're called winners.
Oh, yeah.
But I question it a little bit if Pat Mahomes is actually doing that this year, because their defense has been really good. Yeah. They haven't asked him to really, I don't want to say at all, like drive down the field and go get a touchdown to win the game. They had a lead yesterday and held on to it. But again, their division just looks, ugh. The Chargers are Chargers look fine, I guess. I still don't know what they're going to be. They have no wide receivers outside of Ladd McConkey. And then on top of it, when you start looking at what the Denver Broncos have done, I don't think they can keep it up. But look, they're 5-3 too.
Yeah. Mm. He has to make plays, and he makes some plays when he has to make the plays.
I'm just saying, I don't think that's been the case this year. I don't think he's been put in that situation where he's got to drive down the field and go win the game. I think they've been in some ugly games where they've held on. He's had some field goal drives as well. I mean, that was Travis Kelce's first touchdown this weekend.
That's incredible. Seriously, you told me before. I was like, really?
Something's missing on that offense. And I realized, too, that their running backs got all banged up. But
let's take a look at tonight's Monday Night Football matchup.
Monday Night Football Preview.
Monday Night Football tonight, AFC North leading Pittsburgh Steelers host the New York Giants. Giants 2-5, Steelers 5-2. Jeremy Kahn, give me some gambling numbers on this one.
Yeah, well, so tonight the Steelers are 6-point favorites. The total's 36.5.
36.5.
That's how bad the Giants' offense has been. That's how much they question the Steelers' offense. The hard part of it is, I think the under in the first half is probably your best bet, because if the Steelers end up wearing down this Giants defense, I could see them punching in some late. Mm-hmm. But I do like the under overall at 36.5. It seems like a really low number. I was surprised when I looked at it that everybody was betting on the over when the Giants just can't score. They can't. They're not scoring touchdowns, yeah. And when they do, it's a field goal. So
scoring touchdowns, and when they do, it's a field goal?
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes they're not scoring at all. Oh, I get what you're saying. Yeah. Shut up, Rob. You don't know. And by the way, but like, who are you guys pick? We all picked the Steelers to win tonight, right?
Yes, yeah. We did.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, coverage on 1300 tonight for that game begins at 7:30. Why 1300? Because World Series coverage begins right here on 105.7 The Fan at 7 p.m. What were you about to ask?
No, I was just going to say, what do you guys think happens tonight? I mean, I know you said Steelers win.
I think Najee Harris is going to go off tonight.
He's another guy that hasn't scored touchdowns this year.
I think he's going to score. He has two so far.
I think he just got them both.
Last week, I think. Mm-hmm. He's been on a heater lately. I think he continues that tonight. I don't know about getting the end zone. Maybe he does, but I think he's going to be pretty much the one that paces the game tonight for them.
I think the Steelers defense has a big night. The Giants average 14 points a game, which is second worst in the NFL. The Steelers give up 14 points, which is second best in the NFL, behind the Chargers, oddly enough, give up 13. But the Steelers defense is great. The Giants offense just sucks. They've scored 99 points so far. Own team in the NFC with not 100 yet. I mean, like I said, after yesterday, anything's possible, but I don't see the Giants having a prayer against the Steelers.
This game, guys, is a microcosm of how dumb this season is.
Yeah.
One team's 2-5, one team's 5-2. What's the difference between the two teams?
Quarterback, maybe? I don't even know. It can't be that.
You didn't have this quarterback most of the season. What's the difference between? There's not a big difference between these two teams in terms of skill, maybe coaching. That's it.
Yeah.
Coaching is it. But you look at 5-2 team, 2-5 team, neither one of those teams are must-see TV.
No.
Neither of them.
Well,
not a big difference between them.
Well, if you're upset about tonight's game, at least you get to watch the Jets on Thursday night.
Well, you at least get to watch the World Series tonight as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the Cardinals and the Dolphins game, 4-4, 2-5. Not a lot of difference between those two teams. Yeah. It's just, you know, you got teams on two different sides in terms of records, Ed. And you can't find a lot that's different between the two.
No.
And tonight is, to me, a microcosm of that.
The other thing you have here is, one of the things I know is the Steelers are one of the top teams in the league at takeaways. They're plus +9. And I think it's just an important stat because this is what the Ravens used to be good at. And the top couple teams, the Bills, Lions, and Steelers, 1, 2, and 3 in takeaway in differential, 11, 10, and 9. I think that's one of the big differences between the Steelers and the Giants.
Yeah, one of the, like, again, we're getting these ugly games on the weeknights. It's supposed to make Sundays better. I don't know that that's necessarily been the truth, but
you think that's the strategy behind it?
No, I mean, I think they thought the Jets were going to be good this year and that Aaron Rodgers is appointment setting, and it's just a cancer that has ruined that team. I even saw somebody say, well, why don't the Jets call the Vikings and see if they want Aaron Rodgers? Who wants Aaron Rodgers right now? He hasn't looked good, so no, I don't know what everybody's talking about.
I'd rather have Sam Donald right now.
Yeah.
And I know that's...
One last thing, Rob.
It's a sin to say that. I feel bad. I feel dirty saying that, but it's the truth.
Last week I mentioned this. My buddy Patrick Dahlgren, who owns The Avenue, was diagnosed with cancer. They had that cancer foundation. They raised $9,000 that evening.
$9,000
for cancer research. Just a little, you know, opening up the place, trying to do something nice, and raising money for it because he's going through it. So hats off to them.
Baltimore community is giving. I will say that. It's a very, very giving community, regardless of where we stand on all different sides. We are a very giving community. I've known that firsthand myself. So congratulations, and you know, Godspeed to him as well. All right. Vinny and Haney up next. They'll continue to give you breakdown of the Ravens' 29-24 loss to Cleveland Browns. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Manic Monday.
Monday morning quarterback.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.